And I've got Justin Potato with me. Man, I am eager to ask you many questions because honestly, I respect what you are building from afar. We're on opposite sides of the country, but I do see your emails, I see your social media posts, the communication, and I definitely want to learn from you in this next 30, 45 minutes, however long we're here. So thanks for joining.
Appreciate it. It's fun to be on the other side, and I'm grateful to be a part of your space.
Yes, sir. So let's start pre-COVID before you move from a small town to a large city. Tell me about 8th grade until decided to move. Like, what was life like? What was your background then?
That's a great question. So, like you said, like you mentioned, I'm from a very small town from Northern California. It's called Humboldt County. And it's like tucked up. Like when people think Northern California, they think of San Francisco. Well, I'm like really Northern California, like damn near Oregon, like hour and a half from the border. And so it's definitely like a small community. My basketball experience. So I was a two-sport athlete. I mean, I did when I was younger. I played football and soccer. I tried those out, but through my high school career, two sport athlete, was actually just naturally better at baseball. I just always had better hand-eye coordination. However, something about the game of basketball always was just calling to me. I feel like part of it is because I had to work a lot harder just to make the team versus like baseball. I played varsity all 4 years. And so I went to a school, it's called Arcata High School. It's one of the, I guess you could call it, it's a small town. It probably wouldn't be super competitive here in Los Angeles, but in our area, it was one of the more competitive schools in baseball and in basketball. And so for basketball, just long story short, I was cut from my high school team my junior year, and I played JV, but that wasn't really a thing there. I'm not sure what it's like that where you live. Like here in Los Angeles, some juniors do play JV, which is actually kind of new to me and actually makes me feel less bad about getting cut my junior year. So I worked really hard in between my junior and senior year just to make the team. And so that's, I think, one of the like foundational pillars to why I started BTG and why I feel, so strongly connected to basketball, because I had to work so hard just to make a team and be a part of a team. So that's a little bit of context on kind of the basketball side, sports side of things. And long story short, I ended up going to University of Oregon, and that's where I got my coaching career started, at a coaching class, actually. And I still remember Dave Rubino, talking to me, and he taught me how to kind of start a basketball program at the Boys and Girls Club, which is where I'm at. And then I coached a couple of years of rec basketball there, and that kind of provided a little bit of the foundation before I moved down here to Los Angeles.
So what made you decide to move?
So we moved because is my girlfriend at the time, my now fiance, got into grad school at USC.
Got it. That's nice. And talk to me about the transition. Like, I know you started BTG when was it 2022 or 3?
2023, really. So yeah, I could kind of talk about that transition. When we moved here, like I was kind of doing some other entrepreneurial things and wasn't really working out. And then I just kind of got into,
What did you
actually
try?
still.
Let's talk about that if you don't mind. Like, what did you try? The entrepreneurial
Yeah.
things.
So I at the time, so think about it, I graduated college in 2020, and I was super lost, right? Like, 'cause it was in the pandemic, and I thought I had a couple of things lined up, and then I ended up, working with first graders for a year while I waited for my fiance to graduate, and was not what I was kind of imagining. So I kind of was in the coaching space. I wanted to create like a community for recent college graduates to basically like get some coaching, basically be a membership for them to like bring in resources for them to help them with like finding a job outside of college, because it was something that I was struggling with. It didn't quite click. So that was kind of my first, it's called Impact. So that's kind of one of the first, I guess, evolutions, you could say.
Got it. And I just like to hear how people gravitate towards where they are now. And what would you say, what were the hardest, toughest adjustments for you moving from a fairly small town? I think I saw like your 8th grade class had 16 people in it, right? The class itself, not like the actual unit, but like the entire class size, which
Right.
is wild to think of. To California in a big city, what are the biggest adjustments that you had to make personally and professionally?
Those are great questions. When I first got here, I'm not gonna lie, I hated it. And we lived in, so I'm not sure how familiar you are with Los Angeles or the listeners, if you're listening. Basically, crash course, we lived in downtown Los Angeles. Now, Los Angeles is not like a city like New York or Chicago where you can get to everything within walking or train. Like it's a pain to be able to travel all around the city. And so downtown is close to USC, which was more affordable where, when my girlfriend at the time and I, now fiance, and I, when we moved down. And so it was a big adjustment with number one, kind of the cost. And like when I was living in Eugene, like I could kind of be that young person who, yeah, I'm not working a ton, right? Where I could like provide with all my living, I had my gym expenses, my rent, everything is cheaper. And so when I came here, right, as just kind of an entrepreneurial mindset, it's like you have to, there's like a sense of grind that you have to do if you want something. If you don't want to live like in a spot where it's tough. So I was thinking about downtown, and eventually we kind of moved out. We kind of slowly started moving further out west, which then, obviously the lifestyle fits more so what we wanted, and then that comes with a cost as well. So it's definitely an adjustment. You have to be very conscious with your finances, and the budgeting aspect has been definitely a challenge. I would say on the flip side, like one of the great things that comes with being here in Los Angeles is I've been able to, platforms like my podcast and BTG and coaching at a couple of different high schools now is like being able, there's so many people you can meet, so many opportunities, so many clinics, and there's so many kids, right? That's a big market when we're kind of talking about just the business in itself, and there's enough kids for multiple different for a lot of actually different like club teams and trainers to thrive and succeed here, which has been a big benefit to helping me get to where BTG is now.
So let's dive into some of the business things and talk about budgeting being tough. I think we go through seasonalities where there are a lot of trainees and the churn with trainees, and just for trainers too, they go through seasonalities of work where they have to really, really grind, and sometimes it feels like you're on cruise control because things
Right.
are coming to you. What did a typical day look like for you when you were looking for gym space, when you were prospecting for gym space? Because I know that probably was kind of hard to find in a big city like that. What did the typical process look like for you, or a day look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. That has been my biggest struggle, like as a business owner in general, because actually, give me a little context. I said my first year, so last year, 2023, in we ran five outdoor camps just at a public park. Like I got the permits and everything. But obviously there's limitations when you're out at a public park, and there's things that are going on that are happening at a public park in a city, right? That can be a little bit distracting to high school athletes or any athletes really. And especially if you're working with youth athletes, can potentially be safety concerns. So my like prospecting process and like how I got here, I actually got pretty lucky. So and part of the reason I have the podcast and is to number one is to learn, and number two, obviously, to network and connect. So I had Coach Deep Hodge on the podcast, and he is the Pacifica Varsity coach. So Pacifica Christian is a small Christian school in Santa Monica. And so I was pretty intentional with who I was reaching out to. Like locally, I kind of knew I was trying to get coaches on that maybe weren't super big, with like you could say like I wasn't going to reach out to Harvard Westlake, right? So some smaller schools. And then, actually he ended up calling me out of the blue last year and was like, "Hey coach, like how would you like to be our JV coach? We're looking for a coach with a little bit more, seasoning," is how he put it. So like the way I actually ended up getting gym time is through the podcast. And then I had another podcast, another girls varsity coach actually came on the show last week, and his episode will come out. I'm not even sure when the context of this, but long story short, and he then offered some gym time. So it's like through these connections, through the podcast or through almost relationships, it's been more effective. Because before, what I was doing, I was like cold emailing, cold calling, and kind of just getting, you know, the cold shoulder, really.
Yeah.
You know, so at a time, I had this relationship with a gym over in Venice, and it was going well. And then now that the guy that was helping me out and like was opening the, you know, basically kind of letting me come in, obviously I still had to pay for it, but he's not working there, and I've been trying to get in there, but I don't have a relationship. So one thing I'm trying, I actually had someone tell me I'm sending a mug and like a card and like a, you know, BTG sticker to the operations manager at that school, just to like as a token of like, hey, I'm trying to build this relationship. That's definitely been the biggest key to getting gym time here in LA.
Man, it sounds like you're digging your well before you're thirsty, doing the Dream 100. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that concept. I think Russell Brunson talked about it, Ultimate Sales Machine, with Chet Holmes, stuff that like you read about. It's kind of like long, draining work, but it's interesting to hear that you cold call prospected and, like you said, got the cold shoulder. That's a really interesting way to put it. But like building the relationship, as cliche as it sounds, is what got you your gym time. If you don't have gym space, then you don't really. I feel like we're not a business if we don't have a gym space. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, 100%.
So, okay, you got a gym space, but are you still expanding? Are you still using the podcast to try to use that as like a secondary objective to get more gym space just in case? Are you satisfied now? Where do you stand when it comes to gym time? Is that a big challenge?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm still in the process where we're like finishing up year two, really starting to establish ourselves and our roots here. We were able to get a camp location for our Thanksgiving camp, actually a lot easier than I thought it was. Like maybe it was like a mental hurdle that I needed to get over. And at the same time, like I am actually, I know a lot of your listeners are trainers, and that's kind of how I started, but we're kind of getting into the club world here. And so we are going to need more gym space. So a couple of other things that may work out for, you know, some of your listeners is I'm in a Rotary Club and I'm in a Chamber of Commerce. So just two groups where I'm meeting and connecting with a ton of different community leaders. And that's led to me like meeting a couple of other, you know, people that like there's a private school that's relatively nearby that I'm going to try and get into for the club season that has like six hoops. Because right now I'm in a small little church gym with two hoops. So, you know, there is definitely still room and opportunity for growth. And I'm still kind of trying to do that through networking.
So interesting, man. So we just have a teammate now who literally is just calling gyms, emailing, trying to build relationships, seeing who even allows us to rent a space, you know, because some churches, some private schools have different rules. And I'm sure it's different out here in California. So it's interesting hearing that. Other question for you is, before I go, I want to ask you about your ultimate goal and dream with this too, but I want to ask more so, how have you decided to approach or solve the budgeting challenge that you said has been consistent or at least evident in these 2 years?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first few years that I was here, and I didn't talk about it yet, is I was a substitute teacher. And I really feel like that's one of the best ways for people like either that are just graduating or even trainers. Like if you're getting, it gets you into the school systems, right? Like I honestly haven't got a ton of clients from it, but it's super flexible. And like, I can't say for Florida, but most places that I understand like have a deep need for substitute teaching, and it pays like relatively well. So I was just substitute teaching. And I'm not going to lie, I don't think the schools probably want to hear this, but I would work, right? Like a lot of times when you're substitute teaching, like whether it's middle school or high school, elementary is different. Like those kids don't need you to be super like this sounds bad, but super checked in. Like how would we be building like the business on my laptop while I was at school? And I don't know if I really should be on here promoting that, but at the same time,
no,
I feel
sure.
Like, you know, substitute teaching also like whether you're, you know, there, it provided me that opportunity for me personally to be able to pay the bills and be able to kind of do what I love without like committing to, you know, that full-time job that you may not be able to get off until 5 o'clock, but you want to start training at four, right? So
right.
That's kind of, I think, what really gave me a lot of flexibility and freedom. And then now, like, it's kind of for me, and I actually remember a really good episode that you dropped that really I haven't done quite the work is really going through and doing the cost benefit analysis on everything, right? And just like, is this worth my time? And I think one of the things that's kind of helped me is I can be an idea guy and want to go in a million directions, but like, what's our business, right? BTG, like, you know, I can't sell soccer lessons as well, right? What do we do well, right? And what are the three products we'll offer? And then just stick to that. I think that's also what's helped focus-wise, like in the revenue department. And then for as far as expenses go, it's just like really having to ask, like the one challenge, like I'll just be honest, like for me, it's like I love to learn. And so I've invested a lot in like, you know, different coaches who have actually coached me and then like softwares and like learning platforms. And like, you know, as a business owner, you have to be like, I need to have a budget for this. Like I can only set aside so much for learning and that's what I get. And so that's kind of been my challenge point, I guess you could say.
Justin, man, dude, that's my life too. It's business stuff. Like I love books. I love coaching. I love resources, trips. Like if I can learn, I'm going to spend
money, right.
You know? And one thing I would say, the substitute teaching, like I think is expected, you know, like you're a body who is there, which they're struggling to get. And if you needed to log in to check in, I'm sure you would handle the classroom and manage it. So yeah, just to give you grace on that too. I feel you on that, which it is kind of cool. You can nourish two birds in one nest and you can get paid to, you know, obviously have the bills paid while you work on building something else. Like there is no better setup, honestly. And you have time to go train. It's something that I think a lot, look, I'd even consider doing it too. And I think more people should, honestly, who are able to do that. The thing I've been doing, I wanted to mention too, I've been doing an energy audit too. And I'm glad you mentioned one of those podcasts about the cost benefit analysis, an energy audit and a time audit to see like, okay, what am I doing from wake up to going to bed and how much money is that task worth? And if I can get rid of some of those $15, $20, $40, $50 tasks, and give it to somebody else, then you can continue to level up and buy back your own time, essentially. So not to get you to buy another book, but Dan Martell, Buy Back Your Time. That's a good one that you may want to check out, too.
I'm adding it right now.
I see. Every dollar, too. If you can, man, not everybody's a Dave Ramsey fan. And I am a fan, too. And I know people follow him to a certain extent. But the app Every Dollar, I've never thought about it. I use it personally, but never thought about it for business. And I think it is a hack because, you know, unless you have a bookkeeper who's on staff who's just processing and categorizing every single transaction and you want to look at your financial statements, you are waiting until the end of the year. You're waiting until the end of the month and you can't really see, okay, how much have I spent on this category? How much have I spent on that category? Which is what a true budget is. So if you are willing to check out Every Dollar, it's like 70 something dollars a year. I promise you it is worth the investment if you really want to like go to the next level in regards to budgeting and having money for those allocations, for taxes, for paying yourself, for whatever other items you have in your business.
100%. And so that's what I was thinking about. Energy and time audit is an interesting thing as well, like in terms of just creation, how many hours can I coach? And then the other thing that I learned last year that I started implement into my accounting system is Profit First. Have you heard of Profit First?
Love Profit First.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. I saw that. I think I texted you about it. Yeah, Profit First is amazing. Like I would put every business owner on that and pay yourself first. Otherwise, you're gonna blow all your money, and you're not gonna have any idea where it goes.
That's so true. And I wish I would have read that as soon as I got out of college, like you did too. Well, yeah. I'm assuming you read it
first year in business, which helped. First year in business.
I got it. Got it. That's smart, man. That's probably the first book I would recommend to me, honestly, like you're saying. So what is your ultimate goal, dream with this? Because I really do like a lot of things that you're doing, and I'll share all those little details that I like a little bit later. But what's the ultimate goal you have for BTG?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and I was even thinking about it this morning. So I have my kind of vision. So the long-term BTG basketball. So BTG stands for Beyond the Game Basketball. And so I want BTG to like do global camps and clinics for athletes and coaches. And then we have local academies. So right now it's BTG LA. We have camps, clinics, club, You can play and train, and then consulting. And I actually have this opportunity now to, I'm actually going to be consulting this. It's a Japanese team, which is, it's basically like Japanese recreation basketball. So like this dad called me, he's like, hey, like we just got parent volunteers. Like we need help with game strategy. And like, I love that stuff. And that's like, actually, I kind of want to get into that consultant role. And so as I continue to expand and grow this out, I'm kind of in that next tier, as you're talking about, and buying back your time and like trying to hire people out to do some like posting and things that like they do matter. However, it does take 30 to 60 minutes of my time a day, right? And then I could totally be spending my time elsewhere doing that, building relationships, coming on podcasts like this if I'm able to do that. So I'm getting a little sidetracked. And then the nonprofit at the same time, we have nonprofit, and so I want people to be able to get access to great coaching and great programs who may not be able to financially afford it. So that's kind of the three layers, three pillars. Right now, we're really focused on the local academies. I've kind of hired out my fiance to be our leader for our nonprofit. And then the global camps and clinics is probably down the road. But I want to leverage and utilize the game of basketball to help me travel. And then also just spread the game, spread the love for the game, and connect with a ton of other people.
I like it. That is a dream. I see guys who travel. I mean, there's so many trainers who are traveling across the world. I'm like, that is really cool that, one, is you built something that's so, that has so much reach to where somebody from Japan would literally call you and contact you and say, hey, can you help consult this rec team? How did you get that? Was it a podcast interview that they saw and or heard and they called you, or?
So it's actually the Japanese rec team is like local. It's like a J League. It's like an Asian league here. So it's here locally in Los Angeles. So the dad said someone just recommended BTG. I honestly guess I should have asked who. I was just so happy that someone recommended us over. So, but yeah, actually we do have a opportunity to take a team to Japan, a team or two to Japan. That happened through the podcast as well. I had someone who was. He works for the Center for Justice and Healing through Sport, and also has a sports tourism company. He's half Japanese, half American, and like goes to Japan often. So like just random connections happen from the podcast for sure.
I like it. I love it actually. Random question. I'm jumping around right now without as much flow as I intended, but you mentioned you have clubs, camps, training, consulting. What would you say generates the most revenue for you? I know I go back and forth with some people about clubs versus actual training, and the argument can be made on both sides. You know, which one is the best for them or has the most profit for them? Which one is it for you so far?
So I feel like the most lucrative per time is camps, actually. Like, that's what I've seen the most. I prefer group training to private training. I do know that there are some people in the LA area that, you know, they work a lot of hours. Like they're private training like 6+ hours a day, and they are in the, you know, the 100K club. I'm someone kind of like you. I'm trying to buy back my time. I'm trying to do what's most efficient, and serve kids at the same time, right? I'm not trying to just build a factory of basketball where, you know, it's no fun at all. But how can I maximize that time? So for me, there's a couple of reasons, like, because I didn't originally want to get into club basketball. I really didn't. And if I'm going to be honest, the first year, if I broke down the numbers, I did not make minimum wage. Like, so I caution people that want to just jump into it and say, I'm going to get rich, because it's a ton of hours. You're giving up at least two of your weekends a month, especially if you're a director or owner. So that was definitely a learning opportunity. I'm going to change the price. The price is going to go up this year. I gave away, you know, scholarships where I didn't have scholarship money. So that's why I now have a nonprofit to be able to backfill some of that, and be able to provide those experiences and not lose and be able to pay myself. So I've kind of offset some of those costs, and, you know, I may need to come back and answer this question next year after like learning all my lessons of mistakes through club, because as of this year, as to the 2 years BTG has been in business, training and camps have been more lucrative than club. However, if I like, I've been breaking down the numbers. If you do club right, club can be just as lucrative, if not more, because I can hire coaches and I can kind of take a step out and kind of, that's, it's scalability. And I don't know what it's like where you are locally. It's really hard to build an academy that's just training here in Los Angeles because kids want to play. That's where the demand is. So if I'm looking at it from like an economist's point of view, kids want to play. And the last part, I know it's a little long-winded, is I love coaching teams. I feel like that's where my expertise is, and like however how I train kids, like I feel like there are definitely a lot of better trainers who are better in details than I am. Like I can give you principles, I'll be able to kind of adjust you in certain ways, but I can help you be a more effective 5-on-5 basketball player. That's where my skill is. So I'm like, this is my passion, this is what where the demand is, so like this is where I need to go. So that's kind of the reason I chose to go and get into the club world.
It sounds like the DNA of who you are and what you want to do. It just it does sound like you can make even more of an impact, even greater of an impact than you already are with the club setup, you know?
Right.
So it just makes sense to me hearing you talk to naturally gravitate towards that.
No, 100%. And that's what I would say for sure. Yeah, it just fits what I that, and that's what I had a realization. Like I was coaching high school last year, and I was just like, you know what? Like I love doing this. Let me, you know, and so that's where it makes sense. Not everyone loves doing the because you give up 2 weekends. Not everyone wants to be a head coach. So like it really kind of depends on your personality and where you want to invest your time.
So let me ask you this: what would you say has been some other breakthroughs for you? Obviously, Profit First was amazing. You've invested a lot in resources. I mean, you're running Facebook ads. You got software. You had coaching. What has been some of your favorite lessons so far in that process of learning how to grow this business?
That's a great question. And a lot of things stack up on each other. And to give a little, just a Hoops Institute plug, is that Facebook ad that we ran together. Like I got a ton of different leads from that. I thought, you know, I was a little ignorant. I was like, I thought I was going to convert them all and I was going to have a 50x return and I was going to be like the richest man alive. But I did end up having like a 5x return on what my ad spend was. And that's really good. You know, at first, like it was my first time like having running a really successful ad. So my ego was super inflated at the time because I was like, oh man, look at this. But I would say like Hoops Institute has really helped in terms of just my organization. I'm able to send all my email campaigns. The automations are helpful. Like being able to do a website, being able to do everything on Hoops Institute has really helped me grow. And then I also will say Coach Ben, who I know you've talked to, has really helped me with just the business side and the principles and the systems coming into place. I feel like, you know, if I'm gonna kind of almost, I'm almost learning as I'm talking right now is like building a business, right? I feel like that's when I transition from like this is a hobby, I'm a trainer, I'm a coach to this is BTG basketball. Like I'm growing the business. I am maybe the orchestrator of it, but I am not the business. And I feel like that was probably my biggest breakthrough is understanding that it's if I want to build this to be a company, it needs to be bigger than me. I need to make decisions. Like there needs to be systems in place. And I'll be honest, it's not the thing that I'm best at. So it's still something I'm growing at. I'm trying to grow into like a leader and being able to delegate. Like it's like really like 2 weeks or a month ago, as I really realized, I was like, I can't do everything myself. I have to start delegating. I have to step up my leadership. And so that's probably been my biggest breakthrough. And then, you know, I feel like this realization and you know, growth from these skills are going to be very fruitful if we had this conversation around this time next year.
I see. And you know what I commend you on too, honestly, man, your emails, I literally look at all your emails and I'm like, okay, I star them. I haven't gone back to look at all of them, but I star them when I read them the first time. I'm like, okay, I like how you worded that. I like how clean it is and how it's segmented. And I don't know if you have any like design experience, but like it's clean and I like the code. I won't give all your details away, but the codes that you use to get people incentivized to have referrals and increase that word of mouth marketing. You use the system very well, is what I'm trying to say. So what for the Facebook ads, what really impresses me is like I saw your ad and I liked you turned them off. Like once you got what you needed, like you turned them off. Is that correct?
Right. Yep.
Yeah,
Yep.
that's smart.
Yeah. I'm like, well, at a certain point, like I got a ton like the first 3 weeks, and then I saw a dip, and I was like, okay, you know, like now my ROI is It might be cooked. Maybe everyone saw it, and that's it. You know, and I was happy with it. And then some people started seeing it. Like, you know, I did it with Facebook 10 miles away, but I'm guessing that like people work, you know, maybe where the ad like within 10 miles, and then I'd have conversations. I'm like, you're an hour away. You know, like you're not coming to training.
Right.
So then I started getting some more of those leads, and I was like, nah. So again, kind of that ROI, the business cost, like, I'm like, it's not worth it anymore.
And then the emails, like, do you track any conversion metrics on those emails? Because again, they are well worded. I think your website is really clean. I can tell you put work into it. You know what I mean? Like, how well do your emails convert? You know, it's crazy. I was thinking about it on the way over here. A lot of people don't have email list. You know, they have their cell phone, their personal phone, and they text people. They have whatever the person limit is in group messages, but there is no email list where they can just send it out to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people and hopefully convert on 2% of them, 3% of them, and get people who are not as engaged reactivated into their business. So what have you learned from your emails so far?
Yeah, actually, you know, I wish the conversion rate was better, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I really do. I'm not sure if it's the time of year or what it is, but I feel like what I do well with the emails is I do a great job disseminating information, getting information out. I am having trouble like getting that final bite in that yes. And I'm like, sometimes I'm, you know, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before. It's one of the things I'm making an adjustment on is instead of sending it, like I'm thinking about my Thanksgiving break camp right now. That's what I'm really pushing hard. That's what I'm promoting. Instead of like sending it to the website, I'm starting to send people straight to the form. Like you're going straight to the form. That way, you know, you don't get distracted by whatever else is on the page. If you don't want to sign up, that's fine. But like the less decisions I'm realizing you can give parents or we'll call them decision makers for these athletes, they're like more likely they're going to do it. Cause if they get distracted, you don't give them a deadline. Like that's something I'm still trying to grow on is how do I get people to act fast before they forget?
Yeah, there's so many things to it. Like, and I'm not saying this as an expert. I'm learning from a lot of other sources. Like, you got urgency, you got scarcity, you got so many different tactics that you can use to try to increase that conversion. But you're right. Like, in optimizing that page, having a home navigation link or about or all this other stuff, it is not as helpful. And I'm thinking for you too. And I actually want to try to pull this up. How well, so the emails, you want them to convert higher. How well is your landing page for the introduction call or the intro session? How well is that converting for you on your website?
That's actually going pretty well. I mean, I actually wish I looked at the numbers before I hopped on this. But I would say like I do get like a call or two a week randomly. One thing that's been really helpful, I heard from a podcast you put on a while ago, and then I had someone help me with SEO, is I finally got my like BTG basketball like Google page, and then people like started finding me. Like, I'm going to tell you the most random thing. I'm training right now, one-on-one training, a 39-year-old, and he's the only adult I have. And he like is basically my neighbor. And he was just scrolling around, like looking for something like not completely unrelated to basketball on Google. And then he said he found me. He reached out to me. He's like, yeah, I mean, I'd rather pay for one-on-one training with you than go to Orange Theory. You know, so like something as simple as being on a mat like can help. And that helped me find a couple other privates. So that was really helpful when you said that. And it took me a while because Google is a little bit of a pain in the butt. Like you have to prove that that's your area. And I kind of finessed a system where I put that was my address on the California business page for a little bit, so they approved it, and then I switched it back to what it really was. So it's kind of interesting how that works. They've definitely cracked down on, you know, making sure that that's your business, and it makes sense.
So I guess for you, the Hoops Institute, what I don't use enough, it's like we have an origin of subscription, and whenever you get time for this, an origin of subscription report where literally it shows you, hey, where did this person come from? What's the source? How can we attribute it? And we track that to see, okay, referrals this month or Google My Business this month. And it just changes, man. Like it's interesting to see. And we're trying to track it to get some kind of pattern to rec that we can recognize. And I'll share that stuff with you whenever we get some kind of idea towards a reliable pattern. But I guess the other thing that comes to mind for you now that you have Google My Business, have you considered Google Ads? If you're in an area large enough to where, like, I feel like you could just spend such little money and get pretty good results on those Google Ads, much less money than Facebook, and get a good return. Have you ever considered those?
That's a good question. I think I did them a while ago, but you know what? It's probably a good idea for a camp, right? Because don't you? I'm guessing that people are searching like camps over Thanksgiving break, and I could totally just run an ad for that. So, you know, I haven't honestly. You know, you're kind of planting that seed. So I've been heavily into like the Facebook Instagram because it was so successful. That one was a lot more successful. I ran a couple other ones which I've got some leads, but none quite like that. And so to break down, I feel like what was most effective about that ad, for those that are listening, is like I really touched the pain point on kids like training hard but not getting results in games. And I feel like that's what really resonated with parents. So for the listeners, like I feel like if you're gonna do ads, like parent, like address that pain point, because I've talked about some of the other things like the leadership and stuff we do, and just doesn't quite have that bite enough. Like parents really want their kids to get playtime. You know, they don't want to see their kids on the bench, or they don't want to see their kids spend a ton of money on their kids, you know, training and then not getting results. So I think that's what was so most effective about the ad.
I saw that too. I was curious to know what was going so well for you. And I did like the fact that you were targeting that specific pain point, and you think you're getting people who probably already invest in training but aren't getting that last hit. So you got people who are already qualified buyers based on how you're communicating to them. That's a hack, sure.
And exactly. And that's what I had when I had conversations with people. I was like, yeah, I've had this trainer and, you know, for my kid, and I just don't really see results. So that is kind of what I was hearing on the phone.
I love it, and I'm still doing this now. I need to get better at it, but I'm reviewing calls on the playbook and Hoops Institute and hearing what people are saying, and then trying to use that as the marketing message there. So you think if advertising is a public spread of private desires or private wants, then that should be what converts, you know? And I don't know what your seasonality looks like. Basketball season's coming up. Does it slow down for you guys, or does it pick up for you guys with rec league athletes or people who aren't playing on the teams? What does the seasonality look like? I know you're only like a year in or 2 years in, but what are you seeing?
So here's my understanding of the seasonality, where BTG's at and where we're going. So we're going, I would say, because we're so targeted and focused on high school for most of our time, this is our slow season just because they're with high school teams. So of course they're going to be training less. Some of them are training like once or twice on the weekend. But our next focus and iteration is to be getting kind of more into middle school, upper elementary age range, during this time. So we have the camp that's going on. That's actually, if we hit the numbers we want, like we're going to actually have a similar month that we had during the fall. December could be a little dicey because it's just like less training times because of the holidays. And actually, the way Christmas falls this year, it's not great for camps. And between that and you know, because Christmas falls on a Wednesday,
Wednesday, right.
most people don't do anything 23rd, 24. Like, so I
Right.
could do something 26, 27. I have a tournament though, 'cause I'm also a high school coach. So that's kind of been the hard part. I think I'm going to run something the second and third, like do a little 2 day thing. So that means
Nice.
December might be a little light for me, but I've kind of put away money, from some of the better months that I'll be all right in December. Which is, I think, one of the things that is really smart that trainers or club teams should do is when you crush it in summer or when you crush it in those high seasons, to
Yeah.
put away like cash on reserve for those slow months. 'Cause I do find that winter, these past 2 years have been like, I've had to, I'm at the point in my business where I don't have to sub anymore. Like, but I also am not going to be making big purchases, and huge Christmas gifts aren't going to be coming from me this year.
Right.
You know, but with that to say, I do feel like the high season for us has been like March through October. But now I feel like once we get into middle school range, like I feel like it can be a year-round thing there, and there won't be such a it won't be as much of a dip. It'll be a, maybe it won't be the high season, and it at the same time it also won't I won't have to dip too much in cash reserves.
I know what you're saying, man. I know I've talked to guys who have lost $30,000, $40,000 just in 1 month because of some negligence, but also some churn. You know, athletes just leaving for the season or for whatever reason that they can say. Parents are getting busy, whatever they want to say. So I love that advice of saving money during the busy seasons and preparing for a slower season. You never know what can happen. You know, it is
Right.
nice to have cash. Always nice to have cash. Really random. I looked at your conversions for just for like a month, for the last month, and on the free session offer, which I think is a phone call for you, I believe. And I might look at the wrong funnel, but it's 12%. Well, there's really 13% conversion right there. So I think I obviously all these things need to be higher. But if you ever looked at that too and just like do the backwards math, man, I think you could obviously without having to do ads. I don't know how much how large your email list is too, but I think 12% is actually pretty good. So like out of the users you got, I won't say that how many unique visitors from that month. That's actually a pretty good conversion right there. And just knowing how well you market, how well you communicate, I know you're going to get that. I think you can double that, to be honest with you. And I'm excited to see it too.
Yeah, that's and there's something called lag time. I'm not sure if have you ever had Tyler LeClerc on the podcast? I'm not sure. TJL
Yeah,
Train.
I
Yeah.
have.
I'm pretty sure I that looks familiar. I think so. I watched a video like, and he's actually kind of the first trainer who really kind of got me into my style of training. And I learned a lot of business things, and I still remember like this is in my head every time when I'm doing a lot of this, especially because I'm early on, is lag time, right? And it's the same thing for basketball players too. It's like I've been putting in so much effort into my marketing that I feel like it's at some point it will like, it's that graph that it'll be really felt eventually.
Yes.
And so just like continuing to stay with it and because that's a lot of it, people buy off of trust and BTG's only been around for 2 years. So like of course you might trust another organization that's been around a little bit longer, but we're breaking into that ecosystem.
So I do want to know about, speaking of trust, how does your small community upbringing really impact what you're trying to do here? Because obviously you're unique, man. You're so grounded in community, and you also have a business mind as well. And I can just see how you're trying to blend both of them together to where you're going to profit because you're giving such a great service and such value to the customer. It's just a certificate of performance for you. That's at least what I'm seeing. How do you view yourself and what you want to do for the community for BTG?
That's a great question. That's a really good question. And I feel like that's actually part of our marketing strategy. As we continue to do better, BTG will be sponsoring other different local events. So you'll see like BTG is a part of the community. And then speaking internally for our community, we just had a potluck the other day. It was our second annual one, where we invited basically invited everyone, but the people who came were all the, a lot of the families who had been training with us in the fall. And actually it was a really good turnout. It's like doubled our turnout from last year. And then there was actually like more people that I thought, could have came. So it's pretty amazing. I just feel like that's what's going to be our biggest separator long term. It just takes time for that word to kind of ripple out. And that's what I'm kind of, I don't want to say even banking on. That's part of our strategy. And then I understand that it's going to maybe take some time. But that is like we do a different, like I do, obviously, I did a parent meeting for club teams. And then next year, I want to just really help people build those and bring those relationships. And I think, you know what, as you talk about and you allude to, I think it's probably part of my small town roots to build a basketball community instead of just like, hey, just show up for this tournament, is what is going to separate BTG in the long run.
Yeah, because some people say it, and even me, some people say it, but I can feel it and I see it with you too. Because again, I signed up to your email list and I see the emails that you send out, and it's you can feel it through the communication, you know. So, you know, I know it's always kind of hard to quantify, like, what does that do for the business? And I'm sure it does so much more that it's so qualitative and hard to actually put a
Right.
number behind, man. But like you said, it's a part of who you are and your strategy too. So it's been fun to watch, man. I know you're so early on, but I'm excited to see your skill set increase and your knowledge increase as you apply these things and share with other people too, which you have been really generous. You have been paying for these resources and you're just given free game and you're getting, you're giving, you're learning, you're teaching. So I do commend you for that and I appreciate that.
100%. Yeah, you articulated better than I could have. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. And I think where I'm seeing, like, and maybe you could share some marketing advice too. I mean, I'm sure you share a lot, obviously, but for me, what I see aligns with me, and I'm just trying to come from a place of service. Like, how can BTG support your athlete? And like, that's what I'm trying to do, my outreach. I'm not always perfect. Sometimes I'll just send the flyer and say, here's the details. But I
Right.
find that it's more effective when I ask how Johnny is doing and playing on their team, then, hey, here's the camp, sign up, right? And so the more we can kind of integrate that into all of our processes, and as I onboard other, sales team members, I feel like that's what will separate in the long run.
Got it, man. I guess one of my last questions, what does Hoops Institute need to do to help you reach your goals? How can we improve on what we already have been doing, but we got a long way to go?
Yeah, I think for me, if we can have like a, of course, there's the ambitious part of me, it's like weekly, but like a monthly connection, maybe where I can learn all the bells and whistles. Like, Hoops Institute has so much. And at first, like, I feel like for maybe newer people, like having like some sort of like onboarding process where you or someone else like helps them like understand like how to kind of use it. Because at first I was so paralyzed because I'm like, there's so much you can do, which is amazing. But now I'm like confident. I get this idea. I'm like, oh, I'm going to create this as an automation and I know how to do it now. And then if not, I can obviously message those people. But if we could have something that's like monthly as an opportunity, like whether it's, a small group of coaches or with yourself or whoever, where we can really, like, hey, have y'all tried this feature before? Like, no, like trying to just learn from each other that way.
I like it. Consider it done, man. I'm gonna put that into action. Thank you for sharing that too. And I know we'll talk online about the other things as well that we talked about initially. But I do want to know, are there any other final thoughts or advice or wisdom you want to share with anyone listening to this?
I feel like what has led to BTG being successful in my own pursuit has just been like constant improvement, like constantly doing my best to seek out a better way of running things and being more efficient in the business. And then also, how can we provide a better product? And just kind of learning that way. And then just the networking, the connections is everything for gym time. And I feel like it's going to eventually be for the kids too. So those would be my like final little three pieces of advice.
Speaking of connections, man, I'm thankful and grateful for, I think it was Gabe, right? Gabe that connected
Yep. Yeah, I found
me.
Gabe's video. Yep.
Yeah, so I wanted to say thank you, and we're going to create a video similar to his. So thank you for one, following up for the constant improvement, because you make me want to improve too. And I've enjoyed all of our conversations, and you just make me want to serve you better. So kudos for you, man, for being a good human.
Hey, appreciate you having me on. It's fun being on the other side and being able to share some wisdom and, kind of hear your perspective. And I look forward to continuing to work with Hoops Institute.
That podcast gave you some value. If it did, please rate, review, and subscribe to this. It only makes the podcast better. I read every single one. And at the very least, go join our group. You'll see the link in the description of this episode, and I will catch you on the next one.